Engineer Gold Mines is focused on the exploration and development of the historic high-grade Engineer Gold Mine situated 32 kilometers southwest of Atlin, British Columbia. Engineer Gold Mines is fully permitted for surface and underground exploration with the drill program now underway. Engineer Gold Mines Limited trades on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol EAU. For more information, please visit us at engineergoldmines.com.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Friesen. He's the Grizzly Patriot fighting for freedom in Canada. He's the host of Live with Grizz on YouTube at Mark Friesen Grizzly Patriot FFCS. He's the founder of the Forum for Canadian Sovereignty Online at ffcs.info. He ran on the most recent federal election for the People's Party of Canada. You can follow him on Twitter at MarkFriesen08 and on Facebook at MarkFriesenPPC. Mark, welcome back to the Goddard Report.
Thanks for having me on again, Jim. Much appreciated.
Mark, you're speaking to us from Saskatoon, but you're on your way to BC to hold a number of town hall meetings. Can you tell us where, when, and who is involved?
Yeah, you bet. It's a fairly extensive list, so buckle up. We're actually heading out. We're going to drive. We're leaving on Thursday on the 15th. Quick stop in Salmon Arm, and then we'll be hosting our first event on the in the series at Hope at 7 o'clock. The address is on our website. It's actually an airport hangar. In Hope, at the Hope Airport. Then we're going to be carrying on to Chilliwack the next day at 1 p.m., and that's at the Chilliwack Corn Maze Pavilion. Everyone's probably in the area familiar with that. And then later on the 17th, we head to Mission at 7 p.m. at the Zion Christian Church. And then on the 18th, we'll be in Maple Ridge at 1 p.m. at the Memorial Peace Park in Maple Ridge. And then later that day, on the 18th, we'll be in Langley. That's another private location at a barn. The address is on the website, on the flyer. You'll see it there. Then on the 19th, we head to the island. We're going to do Duncan first at noon at Charles Hoey Park in Duncan, and that'll be again at noon, and then we're going to head down to Victoria for 5 o'clock at Centennial Park, close to City Hall there, right in downtown Victoria. Then we make ourselves back to the mainland. We'll be in Burnaby at Confederation Park at 7 p.m. on the 20th. And then we start making our way back to Saskatchewan, and we're going to make some stops on the way home as well. We're going to stop Grand Forks, 7 p.m. on the 21st. On the 22nd, we'll be in Castlegar at 12 p.m. The Grand Forks venue is Gyro Park at 7 o'clock on the 21st. And then on the 22nd, Millennium Park in Castlegar. And then we're going to make two stops in Alberta on our way back, 7 p.m. on the 22nd in Lethbridge, and then on the 23rd in Tabor at 1 p.m. at Centennial Park in the Corn Festival stage in Tabor. So that'll end our tour, and if we can, we'll make it all the way home on the 23rd.
Well, it's quite a list. I was just saying, I can't remember what I had for breakfast. For you to remember all that's amazing for me. So what's the website again, just to remind people where they can find out more about the town halls?
Sure, www.ffcs, so short for Forum for Canadian Sovereignty, ffcs.info. And if you go to the town hall tab, it'll show you the flyer. There is a new one being printed as we speak, and I should be able to upload that later this afternoon or this evening, so people will be able to check all of those dates and times and locations there as well.
Are you going to be running for the People's Party of Canada if and when an election is called?
Yes, I am. I have committed to the party to run another campaign here in Saskatoon Grasswood.
What is the People's Party of Canada's platform for getting Canada back on its feet?
Well, that's could be an extensive answer, but ultimately, you know, Max created the PPC with four basic core values: freedom, respect, responsibility, and fairness. And so if I encourage people to go check out our platform. But, of course, you know, that platform was developed before all of this COVID nonsense. And so, of course, you know, it's 100% in line with how we're going to manage coming out of COVID. And, you know, ultimately, we get our country back, we get our economy back, our prosperity back, and all the values that most Canadians share by simply pulling out of the globalist agenda, sustainable development agenda, the Great Reset, call it what you want. We get our country out of that nonsense, and we get all of our values back that we claim to cherish. So that's first and foremost for me, and I know the party is all about Canada first and protecting and regaining our sovereignty.
What are the main hurdles the People's Party needs to overcome to form government?
Well, that's messaging. And, you know, we believe that we have the best mass message that would resonate with most Canadians. Again, it's about, you know, these values, freedom, liberty, justice, equality under the law, prosperity, sovereignty. You know, and we represent and will defend those values. And I think, as I said, most Canadians share those values. And now it's about time that we unite in defense of those values, because it's those, in fact, values that are under attack. And need to be under attack if the globalists want to achieve their goals. So our biggest hurdle, of course, in that is getting the message out to the people. There's still a large swath of Canadians that have never even heard of the PPC. So it's our job to bust through. Now it's incredibly difficult because, of course, the media doesn't give us any airtime. The media ignores us. And when they do talk about us, they're usually vilifying us. So that's a challenge. But, you know, it's about getting to the people. It's about grassroots. It's about building this from the ground up. And we just have to be active and get into the communities start informing Canadians as to what's really happening in our country. And if we can do that, you know, the default then becomes the PPC, because once people understand the globalist agenda and exactly what they're up to and that it does exist, you know, the PPC again becomes the default.
Do you think the People's Party's been vilified? People claim it's a racist organization, and how do you fight something like that?
Yeah, that's definitely a narrative that they've attempted to use and label us. It's been somewhat effective. Of course, the media is right behind it. of course, it's not true, but that seems to be the default position for anybody that's opposing, you know, this agenda and opposing our current government. And what we've seen in the establishment, especially with the conservatives, is they run and hide and they run scared when this sort of thing happens. And our position, myself and within the PPC, is to head on. Let's take it on. Let's get into the debate. Let's have the discussion. And when we do that, we'll prove that, we're in no way, shape or form are we racist or white supremacist or white nationalist or whatever term or label they want to stick with us. But so far, you know, like I said, they've been fairly successful with it, but we just have to stay firm and bust through that narrative.
Is the PPC planning on announcing a number of star candidates before the next election is called?
Yeah, I've heard some names floating around. Chelsea Hillier, Randy Hillier's daughter, just announced on Twitter that she was successful in her contest for her riding as PPC candidate. So we're more than happy to bring her aboard. Viva Frey has announced on his channel, his YouTube channel, he's got a very successful YouTube channel, very popular. He's going to run for the PPC. And there are a number of other names that have been thrown around. No confirmation yet, so I can't open my fat mouth, but there will be some big names definitely getting involved and understanding that the PPC is really the only party that represents Canadian interests.
What do you think the globalist Agenda 2030, the Great Reset Plan, is for Canada this fall and winter?
You know, that's a very good question. I think it's not over. And this is one thing I want to be very clear to your listeners, that this whole agenda, and don't kid yourself, COVID was used as a cover to not only condition and socially engineer the masses to be prepared for what's coming, but also to ram through a lot of bills and legislation federally without anyone really paying any attention. So what they're going to use next, you know, sometimes I like to listen to Klaus Schwab over at the World Economic Forum. He, him and his cohorts definitely telegraphed COVID coming with Event 201 and a few other interesting documents sponsored by Rockefeller and those folks. So they've mentioned a little bit about, you know, the upcoming cyber pandemic, so that might be something that they're going to use from their toolbox. But I don't think COVID is necessarily over. I think they might, you know, look at probably locking us down again come the fall. And continuing on with this, charade, this mechanism of social engineering and getting us to be compliant and submissive, only so they can achieve their goals of sustainable development, Great Reset. So, the game's definitely not over. There's a lot more coming. They have a lot they want to achieve by 2030. So, buckle up.
Was Canada originally designed to make it easier to usher in Marxism, communism, fascism?
I don't think it was originally designed that way. I don't think our forefathers, you know, were complicit or supported, you know, this communist, fascist agenda. I think, you know, I got to be honest here. I think the reason why they've been to this point so successful in bringing in this agenda is Canadian apathy and irresponsibility. A lot of Canadians to this point, myself included, up until a few years ago, you know, sort of abdicated our responsibility to politicians that we thought we could trust, that were just making decisions we thought in our best interest. But as it turned out, and as we're learning, that isn't the case. So it's now time for Canadians to re-engage and start taking on that responsibility of, you know, holding our elected officials accountable and ultimately getting them out because they haven't represented our best interest, and put somebody in that does represent, you know, our values and our best interest. So, you know, was Canada created? I don't think it was created on that basis. I think Canada was created with somewhat of a vision. And, you know, we've sort of lost our ability to defend that vision and protect what we all claim to cherish.
Does it look like there'll be a federal election this year after the sitting Liberal MPs qualify for their pensions?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there is definitely some indicators that we're going to be moving into an election this fall. And I'm not sure, you know, if that's a huge consideration. I think the Liberals feel very comfortable at this point, unfortunately. The Conservatives, being the party of opposition, are not really providing much opposition. And it really seems to me that they don't even want to win based on, you know, what they've done to their base and how they ignore their base. They're essentially, from what I can see and interpret, they're essentially giving up and conceding defeat. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, knowing what's coming and knowing what's involved with this agenda, that they actually want to be the party in power. They've already agreed. They opened the door for Trudeau back in 2015 when Harper signed the latest incarnation of sustainable development in September of 2015, a month before the election. So they know what's coming, And I'm not sure that they even want to be in government while this is happening and be the party that brings down our nation. So, you know, there is no effective opposition. I think the Liberals feel very comfortable and would like nothing more than a solid 4 or 5 years to stare at to implement the policies of the globalist agenda.
Do you feel the NDP, the Liberals, the Conservatives, the Greens, all basically, and the Bloc, all get along so well together that there really isn't much difference if you vote for one of those parties versus yours?
Well, there isn't. It's essentially a uni party. The establishment parties in Parliament have all agreed to the UN agenda. They've all agreed to ceding our sovereignty to this unelected foreign entity under global governance. So it is a uni party. And all of the issues that we're dealing with in Canada, economically, culturally, are all related to sustainable development. All of it. Everything that Trudeau has brought in since the day he was elected the first time is in compliance with this agenda. And there's no opposition to it. Really any of it. So, no, they're, I consider them just one big uni party. The establishment is what it is. And, you know, the PPC on a federal level is really the only party that stands against it.
Are lockdowns and other draconian measures likely to be implemented in Canada prior to an election to allow a push for potentially fraudulent mail-in ballots?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something we have to consider. Again, you know, if you believe the polls, and I think the Liberals probably do their own internal polling and the Conservatives do the same, I think they feel pretty comfortable where they're at right now because of, you know, obviously the level of ignorance in the masses is what's really happening. So I just think that they're going to go ahead with an election regardless if they're able to use COVID and measures surrounding COVID to achieve their goal. I'm not even sure they need that, but it's definitely something that we have to consider. I think, obviously, mail-in voting and the fraudulent activity that can happen with that is definitely something we have to look at. And one thing I want to stress for all the good folks in the PPC that are running as candidates to make sure you have a large contingent of people that are there counting ballots and scrutinizing the counts and to make sure everything is above board because there's a lot of funny stuff going on, that's for sure.
Theo Fleury, the ex-hockey player, tweeted, "They're going to steal the election, folks." Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, if we look at what happened in the States, we look at the American election recently and how it was stolen from Trump, and I think that more and more information is coming out all the time. I think we can safely say that it was definitely fraudulent. And so, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, yeah, well, if they can do it in America, they're going to do it everywhere else to ensure they get the people in government they need to fulfill the goals of the UN agenda. So, yeah, I mean, he's bang on.
Forensic election audits are taking place in the U.S. What would the process be to get forensic audits for all levels of government in Canada?
That's a great question. I have no idea. We have to have some kind of mechanism to audit, but, you know, we're relying on federal bureaucracies that are controlled by the government of the day. And if the government of the day wins the next election, that same bureaucracy will be controlled by the same government. So, you know, we see that in our court system. We see it throughout the bureaucracy. You know, so do I have a lot of faith that there would be any sort of real audit taking place? I really don't. It's a sad state of affairs we're in, but there is no independence that I can see, at least right now. I'd sure like to see something, but great question.
Why do you think China's been allowed to buy up so much of Canada?
Well, I think that goes again to establishment policies. Whether it's the Conservatives or the Liberals for the last, you know, I don't know, 3 decades at least, they've allowed China on the basis of globalization. I mean, even you can go back to the Harper years where he openly stated that Canadians are going to have to accept less sovereignty, and he actually coined the phrase enlightened sovereignty, which just simply means less sovereignty. And this is all in the name at that time of globalization. And so we saw during this period of quote-unquote globalization that China taking advantage and buying up a lot of our industries and our resource companies and properties and these sorts of things. So it boils down to government policy, and basically, you know, Canada has dropped the ball, and we've given up our sovereignty for countries like China that are more than happy to take advantage.
In Iceland, they jailed the corrupt bankers and politicians. Would this be a good model for Canada?
Well, I think that's a apple to oranges type thing. Iceland's a very small country. And, you know, most of those folks, when they were sort of rebelling against their government, were able to converge at one place and hold their politicians accountable. In Canada, we're such an enormous country just in landmass, and we're so spread out across the country, it's hard to imagine something like that coming together, and it would have to be massive. I think, you know, our nation it's hard to compare to a nation like Iceland. But I know that the sentiment and the feeling, is out there. There's a lot of folks that are sick and tired, and they want these politicians held accountable, and really there's a lot of people that just want to essentially take the government back to represent the people instead of, you know, what we've had for the last 50 years.
Why do you think law enforcement is going against the people? After all, they're your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, you know, I think I you know, coming from a law enforcement background myself, I spent 25 years in law enforcement. And so I know a lot of guys and girls in the force here in Saskatoon and in the RCMP. I know that at least 50%, if not more, of the forces do not agree with what's been happening this last 17 months. They just want it to be over. They're tired of being put in this position. I'm a little tough on them. I think that they need to do more. I think they need to stand up and for the oath that they took. They all took an oath to uphold the law and uphold the Constitution as well as the Charter. And a lot of them chose not to do that, and they chose to ignore their oath to save their job. There's a large number of folks that have joined Police on Guard. That's an organization of active and retired officers that have come together in opposition to what's been happening. So I applaud those officers. We have one here in Saskatoon. He up and resigned from the force because he just would not comply with essentially illegal orders going against his oath. So, you know, I think we tend to label these folks as collectively, but I think if we looked at it on an individual basis, there's a lot more officers out there that simply do not agree, and they just want this to go away so they can go back doing the job that they're hired to do.
Even the people in Cuba are standing up and protesting for freedom. What are the people of Canada not seeing yet?
Well, people in Canada, a lot of folks live in a bubble. They don't want their bubble burst. They don't want to look at the truth because the truth would upset their apple cart. So they just keep their head down and, you know, go to work and come home. And as long as the bills are getting paid, they're not looking outside that bubble because it's a little too nasty. So they just, you know, they ignore it. And the level of apathy is extremely concerning. But sooner or later, as they move along on this agenda, Canadians will be forced, those bubbles will be burst, whether they like it or not. My only hope is that it's not going to be too late by the time that happens. We'll see. I always like to refer to it as this race that we're in. The globalists are on lap 7, and we're just tying our shoes. We got to get into the race, and we got to make those laps up. And I think we can because, you know, the globalists are running in a swamp and built on perception, not reality. And, you know, we stand on firm ground, on granite foundation with values, as I mentioned, freedom, liberty, justice, equality, prosperity, and sovereignty. And so once we get into the race, once people understand and there's enough of us, I think we can effectively oppose this and take our country back from this. But there's going to be a lot of pain before that happens.
The mainstream media in Canada has and continues to receive giant handouts from the Trudeau government by the tens of millions, and the mainstream media seems to be fine with the anti-free speech bills C-10 and C-36. Has the mainstream media turned into an enemy of the people?
Yeah, 100%. They're one of our biggest enemies that we absolutely have to win that battle. They are not about journalism. They're not about informing the people. It's strictly 100% propaganda now at this point. You know, it's bad enough back in the day when we had the CBC funded by government. Now all our major media is funded by government, and that's not a situation conducive to a healthy society. So people have to understand that. They have to shut them off, turn their TV off, turn their radio off, look for alternative sources of information, and really start coming together as a community and start talking to one another again, instead of relying on this mainstream media and propaganda.
Your thoughts on this quote: the vaccines weren't created for COVID. COVID was created for the vaccines.
Yeah, and there's definitely a significant segment of the population that is leaning in that direction. You know, I'm not sure. I see that obviously I think based on all the information that we've got to this point that the virus was probably manufactured. I'm not sure that it was manufactured to kill billions. I think it was used, as a marketing mechanism to instill fear in the masses, but not necessarily kill a lot of the masses. But then you enter, with all the information coming out about this mRNA experimental shot, I don't like to call it a vaccine, and some of the, within the spike protein and cytokine storm and what's going to happen in the next flu season, and people that are vaccinated may react very negatively en masse. So, there's probably something to that, but I think it's all connected. I don't think one was necessarily created for the other. I think it's all part of a bigger plan. This is all to transform our world, as is openly stated in the Sustainable Development Agenda. So, in order to achieve those goals, you have to do something drastic to make sure that the populace throughout many countries are agreeable, compliant, and submissive, and this is definitely one way to do that. So, I'm not sure if it's one way or the other, or if it's a combination thereof.
We'll have more with Mark Friesen right after this.
Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Friesen. Mark, breaking news from Spain this past week. It looks like the vaccines could contain 99% plus graphene oxide, something perhaps the human body doesn't really like. If there's any truth to this, could we be looking at Nuremberg-type trials in Canada for not allowing people to have informed consent to taking an experimental medication?
Yeah, I think that exists even before the news that came out of Spain. I think there's a lot of concerns, not only just with vaccines, but, of course, even, the PCR and masking and social distancing and lockdowns and all of the, you know, the blowback from all of these decisions and how many people died. There's probably more people died based on these restrictions and measures than died from the actual disease. But yeah, obviously the vaccine and informed consent is huge and goes against Nuremberg Code. My only question is to people that are you know, promoting this is I don't see an enforcement mechanism, because most of the countries associated with the UN who would and have in the past been part of enforcing Nuremberg decisions and judgments are no longer doing that or willing. So who's going to enforce the decisions that come from a Nuremberg trial, and who's sponsoring the Nuremberg trial, and who's going to enforce the judgment? So I'm a little bit hesitant to say that that's a successful route to take. I hope it is. I question the ability to enforce any of potential judgments that might come of it.
Between forced mask wearing and coerced experimental vaccines, could we be looking at an overwhelmed medical system as early as later as this year?
Oh, 100%. I speak to nurses, frontline nurses, on a regular basis, and they're all telling me the same thing. The vax injury levels are going through the roof, and it's just constantly. And this is nothing compared to what we could be seeing come the fall. And, of course, the narrative will change there, that it'll be because of the people who are not vaxxed that this is happening. But I think it's we can be pretty confident to say that a lot of the folks that are going to be getting sick are going to be the vaccinated ones. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that, but that's definitely what I see coming.
As the Trudeau government, with the support of the other parties, continues to implement Agenda 2030, the Great Reset in Canada, do you think there will become a time to leave Canada and possibly head to a red state in the U.S.?
Yeah, there's a lot of people talking about that these days, too. Even myself and my wife, obviously we have to consider it and look at it. But, of course, you know, when you move from Canada to another country, you have to have, obviously, a visa. You have to have, some form of income established. And so there's a lot of questions. And the other side of that is, I'm in this fight. I'm all in. I don't want to cut tail and run. I'm in this fight, and I want to see it through, and I want to see people come together, and eventually win this war that we're in, and regain and restore our country to what it once was and should be.
We keep hearing of people who are awake losing long-term friendships with those that are asleep. What do you think is causing asleep people to end their long-term relationships?
Yeah, again, it's cognitive dissonance. They live in this bubble, and they don't want to face the truth. They don't want to. A lot of it's probably pride at this point, because they all bought in so fully through this whole scam that now all this information has been coming out. And really, it's been there for most of this time anyways. People just decide not to look at it, and, they just absolutely refuse. They don't want their bubble burst. They have this facade for themselves, and as long as they're paying the bills and the mortgages and their clothes and food, they don't want to look at it. It's going to be something that's going to, obviously, it's going to have to affect them directly until they decide to finally acknowledge the reality. It's tough. It's very frustrating from this side of things.
Mark, can you give us another rundown of where you're going to be, or I should say, where can people go to find out where you're going to be?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that. Yeah, if you know what, just go to the website, ffcs.info, go to the Town Hall tab, and we will have another updated flyer later this afternoon or this evening that'll clearly define locations and venues and times throughout our whole tour. So that's probably the best way to go about it. Just go to the website, check out the Town Hall tab, and you'll be able to find out where we're at. And Maxime Bernier will be joining us on the dates between the 16th and the 19th He'd be joining us on the island as well. And then he has to fly up north to northern BC. He's got some meetings there. And we'll carry on doing what we're doing. So we're looking forward to it and hope to see a lot of folks out there.
You know, one disappointment I had with all these businesses receiving subsidies and grants from the federal government was the CFL, the Canadian Football League, who was, I think, on the leading edge against racism in professional sports, the first black quarterback. You go back to the 50s where it didn't matter what color you were or what race, as long as you could catch a ball and run or tackle, you were very welcome to the league. They were on the forefront of the fight against the recent racism in pro sports. Why do you think they didn't receive any federal government funding? I know you're being from Saskatoon, you must be a Riders fan.
I bleed green. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what discussions were had, and I'm not sure what they didn't do to receive that kind of funding. But the CFL is Canadian culture, and this is one of the things that our government, along with, of course, their globalist friends, want to destroy. So, the CFL is sort of the fabric of this country, and a lot of the folks that attend CFL games are maybe Gen Xers or Boomers or even a little older, and that's not the favored target of our government. So I kind of see that as probably being one of the issues surrounding it.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Friesen, the Grizzly Patriot fighting for freedom in Canada. You can catch him live with Grizz on YouTube at Mark Friesen Grizzly Patriot FFCS. He plans to run for the People's Party of Canada once again. You can get him also at ffcs.info. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.